بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. صفية، سبحان الله، who came from a very interesting lineage. Actually, our mother Sophia رضي الله عنها كانت يهودية. She was a Jewish woman. Her father Huy, he traced his lineage back to Ishaq and all the way back to Ibrahim عليهما السلام. Her mother, her name was Barrah bint Samawal, and she came from the famous Jewish tribe of Quraidah. Her background, subhanAllah, her mother married twice before she married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her first marriage was to Salm bin Miskam al-Quraidi, who was a poet and a warrior, and they divorced around 6 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. Later on, she married Kinana ibn Abdul Huqiq, and he was also a warrior, and he belonged to the tribe of Quraidah. In the Battle of Khaybar, Safiya radiallahu anha, her family was opposed to the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, her uncles and her father were some of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, as a young woman, she narrates the following incident that happened, that one day her uncles came to her father and they were talking amongst themselves about a man in Medina who claimed to be a prophet. Her father was asking her uncle, "Is it him?" And her uncle was saying, "Yes." "Is it really him?" "Yes, yes, yes." But they refused to follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was an Arab. Thus they became some of the greatest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this battle, she lost her father, her uncles, and her brothers. And she was taken captive by the armies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu, he was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the Battle of Khaybar, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him to allow him to take some prisoners of war. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave him permission. A quick lesson we can take here is the discipline of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at the Battle of Uhud, in the Battle of Uhud, we know that the archers, they lacked discipline and they went after the spoils of war. But now, subhanAllah, we see the tarbiyah of the Prophet, that now in the Battle of Khaybar, even after the war is over and even after they've won, now they are still coming to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here's Dahya al-Kalbi and asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission before he takes even one thing from the spoils of war. MashaAllah, look at this transformation and this tarbiyah process that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the companions. Dahya al-Kalbi, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him permission to take some prisoners of war. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave Dahya permission. Then Dahya, as he was going through the prisoners of war, he spotted Safiya bint al-Huy. Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha, and he took her as his prisoner of war. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his companions, he came to him and he said, "Dahya has taken Safiya bint Huy, who is the Sayyida of the Quraidah and Banu Nadir, who is the Sayyida of these two great Jewish tribes, the master of these, or the princess, you can say, of these two great Jewish tribes. Ya Rasulullah, she should only be with you," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called Dahya back and he ordered him to give Safiya to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, look at the discipline of Dahya. Then Dahya, he brought Safiya radiallahu anha back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered Dahya to take another prisoner of war and exchange that prisoner of war for Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha. Dahya, he did it. SubhanAllah, look at the discipline and the thiqah and the belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proposed to marry Safiya bint Huy and she accepted radiallahu anha. Some of the scholars said that she accepted Islam in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet married her, attributing her acceptance of Islam to the incident which happened between her father and her uncle. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala ta'ala alam. But subhanAllah, look at the statement of Safiya after her marriage and freedom to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, "When I was in bondage, there was no one that I hated greater than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And after he freed me, there was no one more beloved to me than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Subhanallah. Look at the character of the Prophet. How with his character he can melt the hearts of his greatest enemies. On the way back to Medina, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he conducted the walima. And from that point on until Medina, Safiya radiallahu anha rode on the same animal with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and she wore the mantle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to signify that she was his wife. And this all happened 7 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to Medina. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah radiallahu anhu, he makes a very interesting note about the marriage of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in his book Zadul Ma'ad, which subhanallah is a fabulous book. He says that the marriage of Safiya was unique because her release by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was her mahr. Subhanallah, Safiya, our mother, she had a reputation of being a very charming and pretty woman. And when she arrived in Medina, she was put up in the home of Harith bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. And once she was there, a large number of sisters from the Sahabiyat, they came to greet her and welcome her to the community. Subhanallah, something that reoccurs unfortunately a lot in North America. And I've heard this a lot from new Muslim sisters as well as non-Muslim women who came to visit us in our masajid and at our gatherings by MSA, is the coldness of our Muslim sisters, that they don't greet visitors and new people who come to the masajid. Subhanallah, here's Safiya bint Hayy coming to Medina, staying in the house of Harith bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu, and subhanallah, a multitude of sisters are coming to meet her and greet her and welcome her to the community. Aisha radiallahu anha, she came, and when she saw Safiya, she was a little bit jealous of the beauty of Safiya and the great character of Safiya radiallahu anha. And as she was leaving the home of Harith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, he was walking with our mother Aisha. And he said to her, "What do you think, ya Aisha?" And Aisha said, "Hey, Yahudiya." She's a Jewish woman. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, "Don't say like this. She has become Muslim and her Islam is better." And this is related by Ibn Sa'd in his famous book of history. Upon also her arrival to Medina, she gave some gold to the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam as to make, subhanAllah, their relation solidified and to make their relation strong. Even after her marriage to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and her time in Medina, some of the other wives would tease our mother Safiya radiallahu anha about being a relative of the Jewish people. Subhanallah, one day she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and she was upset. And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, "Hafsa and Aisha, they are teasing me about my connection to my family." The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said to her, "Say to them, كَيْفَ تَكُونَانِ خَيْرًا مِنِّي وَزَوْجِ مُحَمَّدْ وَأَبِي هَارُونَ وَعَمِّي مُوسَى عَلَيْهِمْ سَلَامُ." She was instructed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to say to them, "How is it that you two could be better than me when my husband is Muhammad and my father is Harun and my uncle is Musa alayhi salam?" MashaAllah, subhanAllah. After this, they never said anything negative to our mother Safiya radiallahu anha. One time, our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, she was coming. She said something derogatory about Safiya, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he didn't speak to her for 1 month. Subhanallah, now brothers, sometimes we come home and we hear our wives backbiting other people on the phone. Sometimes we sit together and we backbite people. Subhanallah, look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam disciplining his wife, teaching her not to talk badly about anyone, not to make fun of anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
"Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wa la nisa ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not allow a people to make fun of another people, for perhaps the people who are making fun of others, they are not better than those they are making fun of. Nor allow women to make fun of other women, because perhaps those women that they are making fun of, those women who are the object of ridicule, are better than those who are ridiculing. This verse, many ulama said, was sent because of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, and the fact that people used to tease her, some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because subhanAllah, she was short. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's disciplined his wives not to backbite, not to make fun of others. Also, brothers and sisters, it's important that we protect each other from backbiting and teasing other people. SubhanAllah, the other day I was sitting with one brother, and he said something very nice before we started talking. He said, before we engage in any conversation, let's all make sure that we don't have the intention to say anything bad about anyone else. SubhanAllah, we can do this as husband and wife. When we sit together and we talk, let's make sure that we don't say anything derogatory about anyone, and so on and so forth. There was a very interesting incident which happened in the life of Safiya with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentically reported. And subhanAllah, from this very, very beautiful hadith, we see the love and the bond that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had with our mother Safiya radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was observing i'tikaf in the masjid during the month of Ramadan, and our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, she had come to the masjid to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to pray and supplicate to her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it was time for her to leave in the night after the salah of Taraweeh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left his i'tikaf to walk her home. SubhanAllah, why? Because it's important for a man to take care of his family. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers, he escorted his wife, subhanAllah, to her house. And on the way, as they were walking, a group of companions from a distance, they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking with his wife Safiya bint Hi radiallahu anha. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, "Hey, this is my wife Safiya. This is Safiya, the daughter of Hi." The companions of the Prophet, they said, "Subhanallah, ya Rasulullah. How could we ever think something about you like this, that would be a woman that you were not allowed to walk with?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Indeed, shaitan, he travels to the people like the blood in their veins. And I was scared that shaitan would throw something in your hearts." Something to this meaning is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. We take an important lesson here, that in the da'wah, the person involved in da'wah should not allow people to have doubts upon them. Should not do anything as an MSA president, as an imam of a masjid, as an active sister on campus, which will allow others to doubt my character and doubt my integrity. Here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even he knows that he's with his wife, but still he makes it very, very clear to the people. This is my wife. This is my family member. I am perfectly allowed to walk with her in the night. The death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was especially difficult on our mother Safiya radiallahu anha, because she was very much attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he fell ill, the wives of the Prophet came to him and they were supplicating for him and greeting him and saying khair, saying good things to him. And suddenly, as the agony of death approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mother Safiya, she cried out, "O Prophet of Allah, I wish I could take all your pain and all your suffering for myself." SubhanAllah, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became shocked and they looked at her as if to say, "You know, what are you saying?" Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something very, very beautiful about our mother radiyallahu anha, he looked at his wives and he said, indeed, she has spoken the truth. Wallahi innaha la sadiqa. As related by Imam al-Dhahabi and Sirah ala Manubala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at his other wives and said, this woman is speaking the truth. If she could, she would do it. Why? Because by Allah, she is a truthful woman, a truthful person. Our mother Safiya, what was it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had which burrowed into the depths of her heart and caused her to be so attached to her husband? Listen to the statement of our mother Safiya radiyallahu anha about her husband Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, ما رأيت قط أحسن خلقا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. She says, I never ever saw anyone with better character than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, it's a recurring theme in the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the number one impact on their lives is the character of their husband. It's melting their hearts. It's causing them to, subhanAllah, change and love him so much. So subhanAllah, brothers, if we want our wives to love us, if we want our wives to respect us, if we want our wives to honor us, if we want our wives to be good to us, then let us be good to them. Let us honor them. Let us respect them. Let us be good to them in the same way that we want them to be good to us. Her life after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was described as having a good nature, and she only had one simple mud home with which eventually she gave in charity to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the outstanding qualities of our mother Safiya was her sense of humor. And there is a very, very funny incident related by Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu, which took place between our mother Safiya and our mother Aisha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with both of them. One day Aisha radiallahu anha, she came and Safiya and Aisha were discussing charity and spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to Safiya, kind of like she set her up, man. She said to her, is there anything which is most beloved to you? And of course it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha said, would you give me one of your days with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And our mother Safiya, she gave, subhanAllah, one of her days which she was supposed to spend with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And our mother Aisha, she took the khimar of Safiya and some of the perfume that Safiya used to wear, and she went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she sat next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to her, ilayki ya Aisha falaysa hadha yawmak. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to our mother Aisha, he said, be careful, ya Aisha, because indeed, this is not your day. This is the day of Safiya, radiallahu anha. During the trial of Uthman, the trial that Uthman bin Affan went through at the hands of the rebels, she sent food to the home of Uthman to have it rejected by these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her knowledge, Alama Abdul Barr, radiallahu anhu, he says about her that she was full of knowledge, wisdom, and sophistication. According to the scholars of hadith, our mother Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha narrated 10 hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those hadith is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Safiya bint Huy also was known as a teacher, and many times people would come to her and ask her questions about different things, and she would say, harrama Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadha, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid this, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid that, and so on and so forth. Her worship, Abu Na'im, in his famous Hilya, he narrates the following. Once a group of people, subhanAllah, they gathered in the house of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were making sujood at the verses of sujood. And our mother Safiya, she said to them, هَذَا السُّجُودُ وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ فَأَيْنَ الْبَكَاءِ. She said to them, this is the sujood that you're making and the resuscitation of the Qur'an, but where is the tears that's coming from your eyes? SubhanAllah, we see the great spiritual nature of our mother Safiya bint Huy radiallahu anha found in this hadith. Her character, she was known as being very forgiving, and one day one of her servants, she brought a claim to Umar radiallahu anha that Safiya was still practicing the rituals of the Jews and the worship of the Jewish people. Umar radiallahu anhu, being so just, he brought Safiya and he questioned her about this. And she said, "By Allah, this is not true. I still have family relations with many Jewish people, and at times I give them sadaqah and I send things to them because this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be good to my family members." An important lesson for our new Muslim brothers and sisters is that you have to be kind to your family members, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Here we see Safiya bint Huyi radiallahu anha, the student of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keeping this good relationship with her family members. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked at the servant of Safiya, and subhanAllah, Safiya, she said to the servant, "Why are you saying this?" And then the servant, she said, "I was lying. I made this story up out of my jealousy for Safiya." And subhanAllah, our mother radiallahu anha, she said, "I forgive you and you're free as my servant. You're free to go." SubhanAllah, sisters, how difficult is it for us to forgive our own sisters? How difficult is it for us brothers to forgive other brothers? Here we see, subhanAllah, Safiya radiallahu anha, practicing the verse of Quran, وَالْكَاذِمِنَ غَيْثَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of paradise and the people of taqwa in Surah Ali Imran as those who hide their anger and forgive the people. So subhanAllah, here we see Safiya radiallahu anha forgiven and also freeing the servant who lied about her radiallahu anha. The death of our mother took place 50 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had reached the age of 60 years old. She was buried in Al-Baqi'a, and before her death, she willed 1/3 of her property to her nephew, who was a Jewish person. And subhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she made sure that this wasiyah of our mother Safiya radiallahu anha was carried out. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when our mother Safiya died, he was sitting in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and somebody came and whispered something in his ear. And suddenly Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he made sujood, and someone asked him, "You making sujood in this time between the fajr and the sunrise?" And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that whenever we see a difficulty or a fitna coming our way, that we should make sujood and implore the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Abbas, he said, فَأَيُّ آيَةٍ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذِهَابِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And what test or trial is greater than the death of one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? And this story which we alluded to earlier, this wife that Ibn Abbas, he was talking about, was our mother Safiya radiallahu anha. فَجَزَاكَمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with our mother Safiya, to give her the highest rank in paradise, and to forgive her for all our sins. Fajazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Awakening Media presents Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to أمهات المؤمنين, the lives of our mothers, the mothers of the believers. Alhamdulillah, we've reached the final wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, ميمونة بنت حارث. ميمونة بنت الحارث رضي الله عنها, her father was Al-Harith, the son of Hazan from the Hilal tribe. And her mother, Hind bint Auf bin Zahir, she was from the Hamir tribe. And our mother, Maymuna radiallahu anha, she was the sister of a very, very famous personality. She was the sister of Fadil. Fadil was the wife of Abbas radiallahu anhu. She was one of the early women to accept Islam in Mecca at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our mother, Maymuna, her name was Barra. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a few other of his wives who had this name Barra, which means the extreme righteous woman, changed her name from Barra to Maymuna, because the name Barra, it is a name which could bring pride and arrogance in someone's personality. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he changed her name from Barra to Maymuna. She was married twice before she was married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her first marriage was to Mas'ud ibn Amr al-Thaqafi, and he divorced her and she married Abu Rahm bin Abdul Izzah, and he passed away the 7th year after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her marriages, she was married actually twice before her marriage to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her first marriage was to Mas'ud ibn Amr ibn Umair al-Thaqafi, and he divorced her, and then she married Abu Rahm bin Abdul Izzah, and he died 7 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. She was at that time 51 years old, our mother, and she was considered as an elderly person in the society of Jaziratul Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. Her brother-in-law Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to find Maymuna a husband as soon as possible, because he knew that at this age it would be hard for her to marry, and he didn't want her to be alone as a Muslima, especially being his sister-in-law. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he proposed on behalf of Maymuna to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu accepted the idea of Abbas, and he proposed to Maymuna radiallahu anha, and this was the 7th year after his migration in the month of Shawwal. Now keep in mind that in the 6th year, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made what was called the Sulh of Hudaybiyah with the people of the Quraysh. And there he agreed that he would not make the Umrah, but that he would wait 1 year and come back later and make the Umrah. So in this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came back in this time of Shawwal, and this was the same time which he proposed to our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha. And they were married around 10 miles outside of Mecca at a place called Sarif. And this marriage was attended by the family members of Maymuna and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were both Muslim and non-Muslim because of this truce of the Hudaybiyah. Thus, subhanAllah, some of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came because they were relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and relatives of Maymuna to attend this marriage. And alhamdulillah, when they saw how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself, you know, the light of prophethood fell into their hearts, and something amazing happened. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with his companions, they left the area of Sarif and began to head back to Medina. And a young man, he arose from the people of the Quraysh, and subhanallah, he gave a very, very stirring speech, and he said to his people, "Listen, O people, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a magician as alleged by the Meccans. He says what is revealed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a true messenger of Allah." And suddenly this young man, he embraced Islam in front of all of the people of Mecca. And this young man was the nephew of our mother Maymuna bint al-Harith, none other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah, a quick lesson that we can take now as we draw to a close discussing the lives of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers, is that if you look back at all of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that always, alhamdulillah, some blessing, some barakah happened. Here, subhanAllah, we see the marriage of Maymuna to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is being used as a da'wah. Nowadays, subhanAllah, look at the marriages that we have as Muslims. Instead of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are calling to shaitan. Instead of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are encouraging other family members to do something wrong. And what do we say? We say, well, they're putting pressure on us. You have to combat pressure with pressure. Push back and say, no, I want to do my marriage according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to do my marriage according to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want my marriage to be a barakah, to be a da'wah. Here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly using his marriages for da'wah and to bring and unite the hearts of the people. Her knowledge, subhanAllah, the ulama, they said a lot of wonderful things about our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha. Ibn Jawzi, he says that Maymuna, our mother, narrated some 30 or more hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you take all of these 6 authentic books of hadith, you find that the total number of hadith related by our mother Maymuna are 31. In Sahih al-Bukhari, he narrates 1 hadith on her behalf, and the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, he narrates 5 hadith on behalf of our mother, Maymuna radiallahu anha. Her students, Abdullah bin Shaddad ibn Hadi, was a great student of our mother, Maymuna radiallahu anha, Abdurrahman ibn Sahib, and from the women, Aliyah bin Sabi'ah and Umman Booth. These were some of the great students of our mother, Maymuna radiallahu anha. The areas which she gave fatwa and which she issued different statements and rulings are the following. In the area of At-Tahara, how to perform the ghusl. She talked about the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ, about menstruation and praying after eating with wudu. In the areas of salah, she talked about the virtues of the salah in the masjid, the sujood of the Prophet ﷺ, and the funeral prayer. In the areas of fasting, the fasting of Rasulullah ﷺ, and the fasting on Arafah, she also narrated the hadith about dogs and pictures and the angels not coming in those homes to have them. Her character, Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, is quoted to have said, Maymuna was a very God-fearing person and had a great regard for the rights of her family. She was known also for freeing slaves and praying for them upon their release. And she was fond of reforming women and making sure that women stuck to the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we come to a close in the life of our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha, it's important that we talk about the greatest gift which she gave to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned around 5 of her students, but we failed to mention the greatest student of our mother Maymuna, and that was none other than her nephew, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah bin Abbas, once Maymuna married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to frequent the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and visit his auntie, and many times he would spend the night in the home of Maymuna when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. Subhanallah, although Ibn Abbas was around 13 years old or younger, still he would make sure that he would stay in the house of his auntie when he knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in her house. That was because Abdullah bin Abbas, he wanted to gain knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus Maymuna bintul Harith, she raised Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and she gave him as a gift to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, we go to the hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, which they agreed upon, related by Abdullah bin Abbas, and he says, I spent the night fi bayt khalati Maymuna bint al-Harith. One night, I spent the night in the home of my aunt Maymuna bint al-Harith, zawji Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to pray qiyamul layl, subhanallah, in the home of Maymuna. Can you imagine, subhanallah, this young boy watching the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam pray salatul qiyam? Parents, can your children say that they saw you praying salatul qiyam? Brother, can your wife say she saw you praying salatul qiyam? Sister, can your husband say, I remember one night my wife was praying salatul qiyam? Subhanallah, look at the impact of the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon this young boy, Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah bin Abbas, in his later days, when he would become an old man, he would lose his eyesight. In fact, there were lines on his face from when he used to cry in the night, from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu learned directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the home of his auntie Maymuna radiallahu anha. Abdullah bin Abbas, he continues and he says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying, so I went and I got on the left side of the Prophet and I began to pray with him, and then the Prophet grabbed me and put me on his right side. This hadith is related by the Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Her death, subhanallah, she died 61 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was 80 years old, and it is interesting to note that she died, subhanallah, in Saraf, the same place where she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Her prayers were led by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and the son of her nephew Khalid bin Walid. And subhanallah, when the people were lowering our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha into the ground, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said the following, be easy, she's your mother. Be easy, She is your mother. We leave now the life of the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last woman that he would marry before he departed from this dunya sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our mother Maymuna, to forgive her and to give her the highest level of paradise. Fajazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, on the 24th day of Rabi'ul Thani, 1424 after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we finished the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this solely for his sake and to purge this work of any riyah or any lack of sincerity therein. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we ask that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa azwajihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, and upon his family members and wives and companions and those who follow their way until the end of time. We conclude the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers, ummahatu mu'mineen. And subhanallah, we have traversed a noble legacy, followed lofty footsteps, and come to the end of a great, great, great conquest. After looking at their lives, we have answered the all-important question, where is the place of the Muslim woman in Islamic work today? And indeed, we have identified an innumerable amount of places, but let's talk about a few. First is in the da'wah. Second is in ibadah. Third is in politics. Fourth is in family issues. And fifth, leadership in certain areas. We find that the constraints placed on our sisters in these modern times are new shackles that were broken by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many years ago. For indeed, during the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, women engaged in da'wah, taught, gave advice, and even attended the battlefield during the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we found in the life of the Prophet and the women who lived with him was balance. The balance between two extremes. The extreme of feminism and the extreme of you can't do anything, shut your mouth, stay at the house and chill. SubhanAllah, if we look back at the marriages of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to many of our mothers, we find that they were full of wisdom and blessing. For example, our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, we found that a woman can indeed propose to a man through her marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his marriage to her brought him close to the Quraysh and enabled them to know him better and better, so that when he became a prophet, those who knew him immediately followed him, and those who were his enemies could throw nothing at his flawless character. And also he took the important lesson that a man can marry an older woman. The marriage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Saud bin Zam'ah, we find that the Prophet protected this weak new Muslim sister who was alone, surrounded by the enemies of her faith, with no one to shelter and protect her. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking her under his wing and marrying her and protecting her. And nowadays, subhanallah, in many, many countries where the Muslims are minorities, although the enmity of the non-Muslims is not the same as it was amongst the Quraysh, still we have many sisters with no husbands, and it's time that our communities reacted and took care of them. His marriage to Aisha, we find, subhanallah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to strengthen his relationship with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left a legacy in this woman who would teach countless and countless and countless numbers of women from her time and even after her that would continue to benefit the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The marriage of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to Salama, we find that the greatness of this marriage came from her helping and advising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah. Habiba radiallahu anha, her marriage brought about this muwadda, so that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, and later on her father Abu Sufyan and her brother Muawiyah became Muslim, everything alhamdulillah was very nice, because they knew that the husband of their sister and their daughter was a noble man by how he treated her. Zainab bin Jahsh, the marriage of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam destroyed all of the pagan and ignorant customs that existed amongst the Arabs with regards to the adopted son. Even back with Aisha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha in the month of Shawwal. And before his marriage to Aisha, it was considered a bad omen in Jazeera to marry in the month of Shawwal. That's why if you look at some of the marriages of the Prophet, you find that many of them, like his marriage to Maymunah bint al-Harith, happened in the month of Shawwal. Why? To destroy this ignorant concept that this month was an evil month, which one should not get married in. As we finish now, the last volume, he has a special chapter called the Khasa'is of Umilhat al-Mu'mineen, the issues of fiqh which pertained only to our mothers. And they were the following. First, that they were the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And since they were the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, they were our mothers. And this means that no one can marry them after the Prophet ﷺ. And this hukm was particular only to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second, as Allah said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, as Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, to stay in your homes, that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay in their homes until they left this world. The third is that the punishment and reward of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doubled according to the 33rd chapter of the Qur'an, the 30th and 31st verse. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them that if you are good women and believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply your rewards, and if you are evildoers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply your punishments. Inshallah, before we go, I think it's important that I mention to you some of the important resources which we used in preparing this wonderful series on the lives of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mothers, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. The first and foremost scholars of our Ummah, namely the tafsir of Imam al-Tabari, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, the tafsir of Imam al-Qurtubi, and some modern tafsir, for example, tafsir al-Munir of Dr. Wahba al-Zuhayli, the tafsir Safwat al-Tafsir of Imam al-Sabuni, and other great scholars of tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of them. Secondly, the purified sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with an emphasis on the Sahih Sitta, with a greater emphasis on the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim, with the explanation of Ibn Hajar Fath al-Bari and the explanation of Sahih Muslim of Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi. In the areas of history and biography, we use the wonderful work of the great scholar and alama Imam al-Dhahabi, Sira Alama Nubala, subhanAllah, a masterpiece of over 30 volumes on the history of the great scholars from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until the time of Imam al-Dhahabi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Also the great book Ustul Ghaba of Ibn Athir rahmatullah alayhi, another very important book on the history of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also the wonderful book Al-Isaba of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of these wonderful scholars and to give them great, great hasanat in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Finally, let's finish this series on the lives of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a quote from Amal Qardash bint al-Husayn, who is a sheikha who at one time lived in the country of Qatar. And she wrote a book called Dar al-Mar'a fi Khidmat al-Hadith, the place of the woman in the service of hadith in the first 300 years of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, quote, "The mothers of the believers served as a great blessing in the spreading of the deen and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst the people, especially for the women of their time. And anyone who came to them with a question found an answer, and anyone who needed a fatwa was served, and anyone who came with a doubt left certain, and anyone whose iman was weak and they came to them left with their iman strengthened, to such an extent that the people would be shy to give fatwa as long as one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ was still around." Before I go, I want to thank our dear brothers at Awakening Media, my dear brother Wasim Malik, my dear brother Tariq Abdul Wahid, and my dear brother Umair, who take care of the boards from Mecca One and all of the editing of these wonderful CDs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward all of them. We finish now with a dua. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته وجزاكم الله خيرا.
There's a sister who wants to say her shahada, so I'm going to pass the mic to her, inshallah. If you can hold for a few seconds, brothers and sisters.
MashaAllah, what's your name, sister?
Sonia.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Sister Sonia, you're from the United States?
Yes, I am.
MashaAllah, how old are you?
22.
Okay, so what we'll do, inshallah, is I will say it in Arabic, okay. The shahada, and you say it after me, and then I'll say it in English.
Okay.
And then we'll give you some good news. Okay, alhamdulillah, this is the blessing of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Please repeat after me, okay? Can you hold up your right hand like this? Your index finger. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illa.
Illa.
Allah.
Allah.
Wa.
Wa.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa.
Wa.
Rasulu.
Rasulu.
I bear witness that there is nothing in existence worthy of worship.
Worthy of worship.
In truth.
But Allah.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad
is his servant
and messenger.
Congratulations, you are now Muslim.
Thank you.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah.
And pass the mic to her, inshallah. If you can hold for a few seconds, brothers and sisters.
MashaAllah, what's your name, sister?
Sonia.
Sonia. Okay, alhamdulillah. Sister Sonia, you're from the United States?
Yes, I am.
MashaAllah, how old are you?
22.
Okay, so what we'll do, inshallah, is I will say it in Arabic, okay. The shahada, and you say it after me, and then I'll say it in English.
Okay.
And then we'll give you some good news.
Okay,
alhamdulillah, this is the blessing of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Please repeat after me, okay? Can you hold up your right hand like this? Your index finger. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illa.
Illa.
Allah.
Allah.
Wa.
Wa.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa.
Wa.
Rasulu.
Rasulu.
I bear witness.
That there is nothing in existence.
Worthy of worship. In truth.
But Allah.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad
is his servant
and messenger.
Congratulations, you are now Muslim.
Thank you.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah.
Takbir.
Allah.